On It's the Law this week, contract law and non-competition clauses. Lawyer Stephanie Fold of BCCC Attorneys at Law in Geneva is here as ever to talk us through the specifics of that non-compete clause you may find in your employment contract. It likely meant very little to you when you agreed to it, but it has plenty of potential to create problems for you when you are off to a new job to pastures new. Hi there, Stephanie.
Hello, Susan.
Well, first off, let's define this potentially problematic part of a contract. What is a non-compete clause?
The purpose of the non-compete clause is to make sure an employee leaving the company will not use his knowledge and secrets acquired during employment with a new employer or future competitor. Said in a different way, it's a promise by an employee not to compete with his or her employer for a specific time, in a particular place, or in a particular way.
And is it always included in the overall contract, or can it be a separate document?
It's not always included in the employment agreement. It's often included in a termination agreement, which is done after the employment relationship is finished.
And that's where I would imagine you would come in, because that can get quite sticky.
Exactly. We are usually consulted at termination of the employee. He comes and sees us, or the employer comes and sees us, and asks us how he will be able to enforce this non-compete.
Okay, more on that later, I guess, so how he can protect himself. But what are some examples of an employer's legitimate interest in this regard?
Well, the whole interest of the employer is to protect the knowledge, the particular relationships the employee has been able to create during employment, the skills he's acquired as a result of his or her employment. If, for example, an employer gives a new employee its customer list, then most courts will enforce an agreement that prevents the employee from contracting those customers on behalf of a competing business.
Seems pretty logical.
It is very logical. It is a way of protecting the employer.
So the employer can protect his or her its investment in training an employee, preventing that worker from taking the knowledge acquired at said society and going down the road with it.
Exactly. It's a good way of protecting what is called the secrets of the business.
Now, you've brought an example of a non-compete clause, which seems fairly broad to me, and it carries a hefty retention fee. Can you read it through for us?
Yes, with pleasure. You recognise that you have access to information relating to the company and their respective businesses, which are highly confidential, and that you have been employed by the company in a special position of trust. You agree that you will not provide any services for a period of 6 months from the termination date, directly or indirectly, to any company engaged in a competitive business.
And is 6 months the standard time period?
Well, 6 months is an example in this case. It can be up to 3 years maximum. You could not exceed 3 years.
I suppose if you were really at the top of the tree and you had loads of insider knowledge.
The higher you are, the more secrets you've got, the longer the prohibition is.
Okay, and the rest of it reads?
Your obligations in the preceding paragraph shall apply in Europe. That is, again, an example. Europe is not always the standard. It could be Switzerland, it can be Geneva, it can be Switzerland and Germany, for example.
That seems fairly broad, all Europe.
It is broad. It is broad, and it's quite difficult to enforce, actually, in particular now with the net and the web, where you don't know where the limits are standing any longer.
No, and you could be doing business, conducting business, having gleaned secrets from said company or training from said company from wherever. You can get a Wi-Fi signal.
Exactly. But the whole idea is that the person can still work somewhere. So the legislator has made it clear that it's got to be defined.
Okay. And then it goes on.
In case of any violation of this covenant not to compete, you agree that the company will retain the amount of 100,000 francs.
Is it standard practice for a company to retain such a large sum against future breach of a non-compete clause by an employee?
The idea is that you cannot claim more than 1 year annual salary to the employee. That is the maximum. So 100,000 is an example here. Some people earn much more than that, so it can go much higher, but it can't go over 1 year annual salary.
And are these non-compete clauses more prevalent in executive contracts or in certain industries?
Definitely. Any industry where there's secrets developments, tobacco, perfumes, those are very privileged companies where it is highly confidential information which is treated. Of course, as I said before, the higher the employee and the more secret he knows, the more he will be faced with such a type of clause.
Let's look at both sides of the next question. How do you as an employee or you as an employer make sure the non-compete clause is valid?
The first thing, it's got to have a clear description of what is prohibited. You need to know what you cannot do, what type of business you cannot do, what type of secrets you cannot use. Then it's got to have a limited geographical scope. It cannot be worldwide. You need to be able to work somewhere at one time. And then it's got to be limited in time. As I said, 3 years is a maximum. 3 years is very long already. Usually, practically, most clauses are only of 6 months to 1 year. Now, the particularity in Switzerland is that you do not have to provide in the employment agreement for a compensation in money before the non-compete is enforced. In France, for example, you have to clearly specify in the employment agreement that you are paying a certain part of money for this future non-competition. In Switzerland, it's not the case. You get your ordinary wage during your entire employment, finished your employment, and then suddenly you're faced with nothing anymore, but you're not allowed to work.
What if the agreement restricts my future employment more than is necessary to protect my employer?
Well, typically, if you have the impression as an employee that the clause is too broad, you will go to a judge who will reduce it. The whole idea is that it does not have an ability to make a living reduced to nothing. You need to be able to work in some way, and you cannot be deprived of what you've got in your head and in your brain. That is clearly stated. It's what you have acknowledged or acquired during your employment and who really belongs to the employer. Typically, I mean, the list of clients, the business contacts, the secrets of the company cannot be used by a future competitor.
I would imagine it's very difficult for an employer to actually enforce, especially as you said earlier, in these global times.
It is. I mean, it is quite difficult because the employer's got to be alert. He's got to know where the employee is going. He's got to remind him of the prohibition. He's got to make sure that the terms written in the agreement are valid, that all these legal restrictions are respected, and that he's provided for an injunction in this agreement so that he can execute it. Because if he hasn't provided for all that, he'll be just stuck.
Okay, and finally, Stephanie, from both sides, from an employer's perspective and an employee's perspective, any final recommendations?
Well, final recommendation for the employer: make clear statements in the agreement, use the right wording, remind the employee that it doesn't lapse at the end of the employment relationship, provide an injunction clause, make sure that you can execute it, because if you don't provide one, you've had it. And for the employee, of course, make sure not to be bound by an excessive clause and that you are really entitled to such a knowledge, and it's not that you have just got a clause in there and you've never known anything of the business of the company. That would be my final recommendation.
Okay. That is our thorough review of contract law in 7 minutes. Thank you so much, Stephanie Fould.
You're welcome, Susan.
Stephanie Fould is a lawyer with BCCC Attorneys at Law in Geneva. That's It's the Law.